Hello, my friends, and welcome to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio presents Holzer's Ghosts, and we've got quite the show in line for you tonight. This evening, we are going to be discussing Season 2, Episode 8, The Ties That Burn. And this was a crazy case. We were kind of going back in time to a case that really started in the very early 1970s with a family that lived in this home. It was meant to be a family kind of getaway, a nice place to just go and relax and enjoy the amazing vistas and views and just be there. But strange phenomena began happening, and especially attaching itself to the children of the home. This led to the family, Carol Schulte, actually reaching out to Hans Holzer seeking help. And it was a remarkable case full of a lot of twists and turns. If you got a chance to watch the episode, you'll know what I'm talking about. There was a lot of things happening that we just were not expecting. And for those of you that have not yet watched it, spoiler alert, there's going to be a lot we talk about tonight behind the scenes and things that appeared on the episode. Before we get too deep into this beginning, I do want to introduce a couple of my guests this evening. Of course, joining me from the Holzer Files, your favorite equipment tech and basement dweller, attic crawler, crawl space liver, Mr. Shane Pittman.
How's it going? Appreciate you having me on.
Always great having you join me. Thanks for coming back this week. This was a lot of questions were coming your and my way after this episode on social media, so I knew I had to have you back because there were some shaky moments that kind of took all of us by surprise. And so we've got Shane joining me. Also joining us, Shane, we've got another guest and a buddy of ours. If you had a chance to watch Haunted Salem Live, 2 years ago now? Year and a half ago? Yeah, hard to believe, huh? He was the master of ceremonies. He helped us move from one location to another. And you might also recognize him from Haunted Live. He also has other programs that are now part of Discovery Plus. You can find America Facts versus Fiction only on Discovery Plus. You might also recognize.
Uh-oh.
Wow, he got absorbed into the void. I guess he fell into the crawl space. Listen, Shane, it's you and I. Welcome to the Shane and Jamie show.
That's you see, right. This is when the supernatural starts getting weird, guys.
I know, right? And I feel like it's me every time I come in. It's like something weird. The electrical system goes wacky.
I get knocked out of my own show by the celebrity that is Jamie Kaler. He is the main guy. So as I was saying, you've seen him on TV, comedy special. He's an amazing guy, funny guy, quick on his feet. And we had a chance to meet and work together on Salem Live, Jamie. And that was, man, that was a blast. Freezing cold, but it was a blast to work with you on that. What was your favorite part of doing that live stuff?
Honestly, hanging and meeting you, because the same way, like, I do know that I kind of have a very sharp wit, and you know who else does? You do, my friend. And so it was a blast. I remember because I don't know the world like you do. So I remember I was hosting and I was trying to jump and all, they had like all the super groups, you know, it was like Coachella for the paranormal, where all the super groups were there for Haunted Salem Live, which is this crazy town. You know, Salem, there's so much history, all the witchcraft and everything. And all of a sudden, all these groups were spread out at all of these locations that had paranormal activity. And I was like overwhelmed. And I was like, Dave, nice to meet you. I'm going to need some help. And it was so much fun. I felt like you and it was like Frank and up in the booth of Monday Night Football. And we were having a couple of pops watching the game. It was such a blast, man. And I know it was a year and a half ago, but honestly, the last year doesn't even count in my world. So it was really only a few months ago, and we'll hopefully do it again in October.
Yeah, God, I'm looking forward to it. And that was a lot of fun. I was, you know, I love the fact that they would like, Shane, you missed it. There's these great moments where like technology was just shutting down at these haunted locations.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're coming in our ears and they're like, Jamie, we're coming back to you. Talk about what you guys just saw. Jamie's like, I don't understand what I just saw. And he looked at me and he goes, what did we just see? And I'm like, I got your back, buddy. Throw it to me. Yeah. And he come back. He goes, well, we've been having some strange that he'd throw over to me. And it was just this great give and take. And you were so open to allowing me to shine. So thank you for doing that.
Are you kidding? And you, please, you made me shine. I felt like the play-by-play guy, but I mean, you would call a commentary because I, you know, I didn't know what was it. You were Tony Romo in the booth, and I was like, hey, what's happening? So it was like kismet for me, and I felt like the whole that whole weekend we were there, it just everything fell into place, and I mean, it showed because it did amazing numbers, and people came back and stuff, and it was the chemistry was I thought with everybody, Jack Osborne, everybody involved were just fantastic.
You know, it's funny that we did that episode, and people don't. They cannot understand how cold it was. All the celebrities got to be in houses in haunted locations. You and I were standing outside legitimately freezing, mm-hmm. and we couldn't heat packs in our shoes and our gloves. Nothing was working. At the end of the night, when we wrapped up and we went back to the hotel, I was just telling Jim, the guy in charge of our production company, Painless, I said, I've never been that cold. I had to stand in a hot shower for almost an hour, and I still couldn't stop shaking. That cold was – oh, Shane, you would have never made it.
I would have died. I just would have died.
I just remember trying to talk, and we were – my love by the 4 hours, by the way, outside. Right. And the first hour, I was razor sharp. I was like, hey, we're jumping back and forth. And by the fourth hour, it was like I'd had dental surgery. And I was like – they're going to come from the thing. They're over there. And my nose is dripping down. I'm like, that's a Dave. And I couldn't, my lips wouldn't move anymore. It was really funny.
Oh, yeah. That was a good time. So when, you know, we started doing these, I thought I'd like to have some other friends of ours pop in on the channel so we could talk a little bit about Holzer Files, because Jamie is also a paranormal adventurer. And you were the host of Haunted Live. How many total episodes did they end up knocking out on that series?
10 episodes we did that season. It was great. I flew to Nashville every week. And then I love the history part of it as well. Like the paranormal is great. But for me, it was like we were in homes where the Civil War was actually happening. And I mean, numerous people would be killed in these homes and surgeries and just insane stories of war-torn country. And then kind of relived through these events. And then, you know, people were making contact with people from that era. And it was, to me, it was just so much fun. And I felt the same way about Salem. And anytime, even the show I just watched of yours, this episode in Maine, I grew up in New Hampshire and lived in Maine for a while. And I'm going to tell you, there's some creepy stuff going on in Maine. So the cabin and the fishing stuff going on for me and her waiting for that guy to come back from sea, I really... The history of it all is what really resonates with me. And to be able to connect with those spirits and then kind of relive their history is such a great reminder of the world we live in.
Well, we had a chance to go out and investigate this. And it was interesting because this episode was the final episode we started to shoot before COVID shut down. We did one interview and return to our rooms. And I remember the apocalyptic news. People are like, they're going to be closing down borders and no travel between states. And, you know, you're probably going to have to, you know, sacrifice your firstborn. And, you know, there was just like anything that could go wrong. So our production company's like, guys, we're just sending everybody home. So we literally shot one day on this and then went home. So we never got to investigate. And then we go back after, you know, we were able to be COVID compliant and get to go back in to investigate this story. And it was multi-layered. There were so many cool aspects of this story and high strangeness that was going on that I absolutely loved it. And I loved all of the people involved in the story because, you know, you've got Carol talking about her as a child living in the home, seeing this woman and her brother being harassed by spirits. Then her husband, and now I can finally tell people I got to interview Richard Nixon. I don't know if anybody else noticed that our interviewee tonight was Richard Dick Nixon, and heard these great paranormal stories from them without having any concept of just how powerful this haunting was 50 years later. And Jamie, we get drawn there understanding that the main house is haunted. We had heard nothing, and even in the pre-interviews, they never mentioned Lone Oak, or was it Lone Maple?
Lone Maple.
Yeah, Lone Maple, the little guest cottage. They never mentioned it was haunted. So they set me up in there for our baseline investigation, and we send in Cindy and Shane. I'm feeling all confident because they're in the place with burned ghosts and horrible things taking place. I'm safely across the street in my own little cabin. And I start hearing footsteps walking around the upstairs. And you could hear them come down the stairs, go back up the stairs. And we're like, and I'm thinking, and you know, they cut away a lot of this stuff because I'm like, are we sure there's not a PA up there? They're like positive. And they'd stop and radio, identify where's everybody. They're out in their cars. They're gone. You know, we're on base unit. So we have just the smallest crew there. A couple of camera guys, a couple of sound guys following us, and that's it. And I'm like, there's footsteps. And I go, I'm going up to investigate. And the cameraman's like, yeah, do it. So we go up to investigate. And as soon as we get up there, it's just this weird, stifling kind of claustrophobic feel. Now, it's a very small area. Shane, you can attest to that bedroom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you have to stand like this in there by the bed to just get into the room.
Yeah.
And we get in. And as soon as I'm upstairs, I start hearing footsteps downstairs. So I'm like trying to do EVP to see if we can get it. And I made the fatal mistake, Jamie. I said, if you're trying to get my attention, you're going to need to do something better than this. And then I go back downstairs and sit down. 5 minutes later, this hand grabs me on my shoulder. I could feel it through my leather jacket. It was just like somebody clamped their hand on my shoulder and squeezed. And I went through the, I knocked screens off the table. Every walkies on the floor, everything's all sprawled out, the chairs all knocked down. What's really weird is Cindy is across the way and she's talking about, oh, the grandma's coming through and, you know, don't fall, don't fall. And us not knowing this grandmother passed away in the cabin I'm in. Right. And all of these weird aspects of the story, and Cindy's in the house picking it up. Shane and I have no clue. She has no clue why we're at this location to begin with. When you're watching this episode, Jamie, what I'm not a little guy. You see me thunder around and knocking over an entire table. What are you thinking to yourself?
I mean, honestly, the whole thing scared me. It scares me. I watch the thing and it kind of brings me back. And I always liked being the guy outside. Even in Salem Live, I'm the guy outside going, hey, you get in with there. So I'm always amazed when I watch you go in and do these things. I'm like, yeah, good. Hey, have fun, man. So when I see you kind of taunting them saying, hey, I need more, I'm like, hey, let's see how this plays out. And then of course you get exactly what you ask for. And then you're shocked. And I go, well, you asked them to do that. And then that happens. So, I mean, I love it. The tension is palpable. I don't know. And I know Cindy so well. I've done shows with her and stuff. And it's just, it's so much fun for me to see you guys explore the thing. And I mean, and honestly, it's like just the history of that place and you guys exploring all these stories. And it kind of, when I see you and you're talking about so-and-so and it's such a specific story, I envision that era and what they were going through and why they're still there and what they're trying to accomplish by staying in that residence. You know, she's still waiting for him to come home. Why is this happening? That's what I always come about.
Well, Myra Hatton is who Hans Holzer and Betty Ritter, his medium, connected with in this first visit. And that's the spirit they believe they helped cross over, this matronly woman who was waiting for her husband to return from sea. Right. And things did settle down for over 20 years. It wasn't until, 1986 or 87, that activity began to amp up around this house again. Now, Shane, I'm curious, during the baseline, do you remember, was there any real sense to you of what was to come when you were in that house?
No. Whenever we did the baseline and it wasn't Lone Maple. I think they call it Stardust. That was like the main house. Mm-hmm. We walk in there and it was, there wasn't really thing out of – let me back up. There wasn't anything out of the ordinary with the house to begin with when we're doing the baseline. Only when Cindy started saying what she was picking up on was when I was like, wow, we're in for something here, because she was picking up on all kinds of things that I knew that were in the case file that I didn't want to say to her right away. Same with you, Dave. You would tell me some things in my ear, some of the things that we couldn't show on the episode that she was picking up on, that for me not to be able to lead her, I was just like, okay, keep going. And just amazing. Once she started picking up and tapping in was when the whole feeling changed in the place.
Yeah, she's picking up on the fact that the children are most influenced. And who is it? It's Carol and her brother that we're really feeling something there. And then we come to find out that, you know, their stepchildren and children were being affected by the spirits over in Lone Maple. Cindy picking up on the fires and the smell of the burning. And I mean, that sent a chill down my spine, especially after talking to Carol, and she's talking about this woman looking burned, like the skin is blackened and cracked on the face. Jamie, where do you, I mean, you've worked with Cindy and you've seen her, but where do you stand? I mean, on the concept of mediums, and then you see somebody come out that dead on to deals. Does that blow your mind, or are you just, is that par for the course now?
Well, doing live shows with her, I mean, in the room with people, watching it all unfold with these people she literally is just meeting for the first time. I mean, she's an empath. She can feel it coming through. And so, I'm blown away by it, but she's opened up and can absorb this thing. And it's crazy what I watch her see. I have a question for you. Why do you think it was so quiet for so long? Was there just no one who had the ability to take it in? Was there, and was the energy always still there? Or did you said it was really quiet for a while and then started a surge in 86 or whatever it was. And why,
right.
Like, what is that? What is that point that brings it all back to a crux?
Grandma Helen dies. And
that's the trigger.
We believe so, because Myra Hatton was the original spirit that got moved over and everything settled down. But as soon as Grandma Helen dies, activity starts coming up. Now, Grandma Helen, as she describes in the episode, she kind of ruled with an iron fist.
Right.
These were her property. She loved them. She loved her family. She didn't like seeing the back and forth and the kind of fighting amongst each other. They didn't like, you know, she didn't seem to like that kind of activity. So it was really upsetting to her in life. So as a spirit, it's almost like she stayed there to deal with this and deal with these spirits the best she could, or deal with the family the best she could as a spirit. And so that's what we think kind of reignited it. And then what happens is it sometimes when one moth comes to the flame of this house, spirits are transient and they like to exploit when they can. So that more will show up, especially if they know she's getting attention, right? So other spirits may gather there. And you got to, again, you understand this was Native American land.
Right.
There were massacres up and down the coastlines. Plus you're not far from the water where, you know, there have been drownings and death and shipwrecks. And so it's just this kind of entire area is charged. And then you've got people that have this fascination with the paranormal coming there and kind of opening it up. So I think that's what was kind of the instigation for all of this energy that started to build up at the location.
Yeah, there was Grandma Helen, and then, like you said, Dave, the tension of the family at the time, trying to figure out who was going to get what, who was going to take care of what property. So there was a lot of tension, and with that tension, you know, the energy built up in the place could be a factor in the haunting as well.
Now, we hear all this stuff going on. You know, the grandma is definitely there. We interview Dick. We interview Carol. They start telling us about the grandmother's presence. The fact that the grandmother's powerful enough that she starts channeling of her own accord without invitation through the daughter. And that was really a chilling aspect to me as well. And I think even to Cindy, because you have to be kind of willing to give over to the spirits. And although they were playing with a Ouija board, was that enough for an implied invitation to come through? But I thought it was really telling. Dick was so very calm about it. I mean, if my daughter is laying on the couch and then suddenly, what are you doing in my house? Why are you here? Who are you people? You know, I'm going to think she's either losing her mind, having a nightmare or something. When I realize she's channeling a dead person, he just seemed very matter of fact about that. And we, you know, I tried pushing a couple times. We're like, do you guys really maybe employ the paranormal more than you're letting on? But he wouldn't give anything away on that. I couldn't get from him if there was more acceptance. And they must be, because they were letting the kids play with a Ouija board in that home. So they must be pretty open to the concept. And she'd been featured on shows, the grandmother, you know, Carol, and, all, you know, her parents. So there was a lot of that that kind of, you know, you've got a lot of that attention and energy kind of spinning around. And I think that's part of what starts to create this perfect storm for more activity to take place. There were different layers to this too, Jamie. We've got Myra Hatton, who's gone. We've got Grandma Helen. But then there are these more darker, malevolent sense of spirits that were in this home. And now let's talk about the, you know, the elephant in the room. That would be me in this sense. when we're doing the main investigation, you know, we get kind of called away from the main house. We're in the lone maple, and we start hearing footsteps upstairs. We start hearing things moving around. We go up. We're getting registers on our different tools, and we're all kind of cramped. And it was funny. I wish I would have shown the footage, but we're all kind of cramped in this little A-frame bedroom. So Shane, Cindy, and I are on one side, and our two camera guys are on the other side of the bed shooting us. And then we've got a static cam shooting out into the hall. And I'm just starting to get really uncomfortable because I feel like we're all just cramped. And then we start hearing things on the stairs again. So I'm like, all right, this is my moment to move and get out of this claustrophobia, thinking I'm getting away from anything. I go step out, and I'm standing in the doorway to the bathroom and looking down the stairs, talking to Shane, talking to Cindy. She's sensing stuff. So energy's kind of starting to compile and pick up what was the name of the tool I had in my hand at that time, Shane?
That was the spectroscope, which is static energy, static electricity.
And just so people know, you don't see us when we go in, but we do a baseline with all the tools to see where there might be hot spots that the tools are picking up, wiring, things like that. And we weren't getting any response in the house earlier using this tool as a walkthrough. It wasn't until the investigation we started calling on the spirits that this thing started going ballistic. And we're getting the beeps and tweets and flickering and lighting up. And I draw my attention over, and I'm talking to Shane and Cindy. And I think what makes this moment so terrifying for me, Jamie, is I just turn just to glance, and there is this, I can't explain it other than it was kind of like a black mist with a head that just came shooting up the stairs right at me. And boom, I go, it sounded like a cannon went off in that house. And I just go flying backwards into that bathroom. And it's weird to watch because you see me holding the equipment and it comes with such force, like everything just is left in place and falls straight down as I go back in. It's like pulling the tablecloth off the table and leaving everything there. I hit so hard. At first, I was just like winded, didn't know. These guys come scrambling over, checking on me. And I remember at first, Shane's like, dude, are you all right? I just stared at him because I was out of it for a few seconds. And I'm like, there was something on the stairs. But that freaked me out more than just about anything I've ever seen, because it was complete horror movie look, just looking down this dark stairwell and to see this kind of rolling cloud and then a face, dark face kind of pull up out of it coming at me.
I mean, we talked about that before I was going to do the show, and I was like, hey, man, are you all right? I was scared for you. And it was weird because watching it, all of a sudden, your whole body, there wasn't even a bend to it. The whole thing just went whoosh straight back. And then you got hurt. Yeah, there it is right there.
That's my back. And then what was it about?
That looks like it needs stitches, by the way.
Yeah, and an hour and a half later, this is how it looks. You can see the bruising and bash. Now, I believe that the big gash came from the shelf unit that's right there. It was a high shelf. And then I think that little bruise there was from the toilet paper roll, because that was there. But I fell perfectly in between the wall and the toilet. Had I gone either way, I probably could have broken my back on that toilet or given myself a massive concussion. But, you know, I know I've taken a lot of grief online jokingly from people, you know, saying it's, you know, I feel like Dave's becoming the possessed of the week. I'm no more happy about getting tossed around like a rag doll than Shane is when I tell him, you know what, dude,
listen,
you got to go down to the basement again.
And that's, I mean, this is why I'm out front. This is that right there is the, when I was watching that, I mean, part of me was like, oh, that's horrible. Dave looks like he's hurt. But the other half of me was like, see, that's why you stand out in front. I'm not going to the house. No, I don't.
I mean, who would willingly want a big old gash in their back like that? That was possess of the week. No, I mean, one minute he's standing there, I'm standing where I could see him. Next minute he disappears. It's like a magic trick. I was shocked for a second. I had to, where did Dave go? And then I run over to you to check on you because I legitimately thought you were more injured than what you were, to be honest. Especially when you didn't respond to me. You did not respond to me at all. That's when I was kind of worried.
Well, it was a shock moment. Yeah.
I would say just burn the house to the ground and then just cover it with some sod, man. That's what I would do. It's Maine. There's plenty of real estate up there, brother. Chop down a couple trees and put a whole new house away from that. I mean, when you watch it in the movies, then the people are like, this place is haunted. And then they stay for the rest of the movie. You're like, dude, get out of the house. That's in my head. I'm like, what are you doing, Dave? You're going to get killed.
Time to
man.
Get out of there. Well, people have asked after seeing the episode, and they've seen, again, I'll show you the bloody wound. This is what my back looked like pretty much immediately after. They had to wrap me up and everything, and especially because we were trying to be COVID compliant, we had medics on site, which is lucky because we hadn't had one before, and they were there to bandage me up and keep me from bleeding all over. But I have healed up pretty well. I'd like to say I've got a picture. You can see I've been working out a little bit.
Yeah, you're great.
Yeah, thanks. So, you know, my back's feeling better. Yeah. My back's feeling better. That was two. I don't want to hear any more of this poor Shane bullshit ever again because I've been bitten. I've been scratched. I've been knocked on my ass. I've been thrown backwards. I went through, you missed it earlier this season, Jamie, as I Kool-Aid manned through a fiberglass wall.
We should put a whole reel of those together, like a pratfall reel. Yeah. Just the destruction of Dave reel, where we just see you just smashing through things. Yeah.
So poor Shane gets sent to the horrible spots, but poor Shane doesn't walk away with a bloody gash on his spine. He comes out with a nick on his elbow.
Yeah, I had a small little nick on my elbow. Give me some credit here now.
I just think it shows the incredible commitment you guys make to your craft. You know what I mean?
Or the fact we should be committed.
You keep going back, and you know it's like, you know, you're taking your lumps, my brother. But that's the job, really, because you're investigating these things. And we said it every week on Haunted Live. We were like, hey, man, things can go south here. We're in a world that we don't really totally understand. We don't know what's going to happen totally, and people can get hurt. And there was always that little like, hey, don't try this at home thing going on. And you're like, well, that now we know why. So don't. You know, it's the Wild West. So it's, you know, it's cool that that it happens and that, you know, I'm sure the fans, you know, you could win the Nobel Peace Prize and somebody online is going to go, hey, nice prize, Jagoff. You know what I mean? It's like, really?
Who'd you blow for the Nobel?
I mean, you're like, I saved humanity from an incoming asteroid. Jag off, whatever.
I think that's more of a Massachusetts thing, the mass hole coming out.
Well, I just love that the whole episode was in Maine, and that's why I was really excited to be on it because, I mean, we talked about, like, the experience that I've had in my life, and I'm going to tell you, some of them are in the dark woods of Maine, man. I've been up there, and, yeah, there's a lot of history there and a lot of, you know, it's Native American and people landed there and all kinds of crazy stuff went on up there, man. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on right now that paranormal investigators 100 years are going to investigate because it's Maine. It's the least populated state with the most woods. It's Maine's a scary place, dude. And the harbor at night with the cold. And I also was a Navy guy, so I really was attracted to the whole – back in those days, they were whalers. They were like, hey, we're going out to get some whales. I might see you in 2 years or I might never see you again, just so we're all on the same page. And she's like, that's called the widow's peak on those little homes because that's what the widow's peak. They would sit out to watch the water to see if the dude ever came back. No mail, no anything. Just see you later. I hope I come back. And so there was this – we have nothing like that anymore where it's like, well text me when you get to Australia.
we have reality TV. I don't know if we're going to ever see you again after this season. There are those moments.
I so identify with the people from that era of like, this is the person you love, the father of your children or whatever family there, you know, whatever family dynamics going on. And he's like, hey, I got to go to sea. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, yeah, it's this is a scary place. And so I just love that whole aspect of it. And so if there's somebody flying up the stairs, I mean, maybe it was a spirit and he thought you were the guy coming home and was like, oh my God, he's finally home. And went to, you know, plant one on you and then wiped you out. I don't know.
No, I do look like a rough and ready seaman.
Honestly, I was in the Navy and you're like a brass ring away from being a pirate. Well, brother.
I've got one. I used to have the big wham hoop. You can watch Jamie Kaler on Tacoma FD. Where can people find that, Jamie?
Tacoma FD, the new season 3 is on True TV. The last two seasons right now are on HBO Max. I'm shooting a little movie I can't really talk about with Shannon Doherty. I'm playing her husband right now. And that's it. Also, The Dadlands. I'm a dad, and that's – thank you for – I think you're cutting me early because I have to go put my kids to bed.
No, I'm not cutting you. I just want to make sure we do mention these things.
Yeah. The Dadlands is what people know me more from, and stand up. And I also have a record out on called Happy Father Days. That is on. It plays on Sirius all the time, but it's on Apple Music.
And Jamie is one of our. Jamie's one of our brothers on Discovery Plus. You can watch Jamie Kaler on America Facts.
America Facts for subscription. Yeah, hopefully that's we're trying to get some new seasons done. So now it's on Discovery Plus. I think we might get it done. But yeah,
Holzer Files season 1 and 2 are now on Discovery Plus. A new episode drops every Saturday. That's right. We have brand new episodes this next week. We have a really cool episode coming up. The Ghost That Got Away. This is an interesting case. That's coming up because it's a case that Hans Holzer wanted to go visit and tried to get in, but the woman that owned the house and the property, Westview Manor at that time, she wasn't having it. And he was dejected, but it was one of his, he wrote about the stories, he shared it, but he could never get permission to go back and investigate. And I'll tell you what, while you're here, Jamie, let's give you a quick little insider's peek to next week's episode. Hold on.
I love it, man. I love it.
More recently, my mother had a friend visiting, and he was looking off towards the west down the river, and he noticed a woman in a long gown. As she's crossing the lawn, we have very large trees out there, and she went behind a pecan tree, and she did not come out on the other side. And he walks down to the lawn, and he looks behind the tree to help her, and of course, there is nobody there.
Now, that's bizarre.
It's bizarre.
Are there any other paranormal experiences here that you haven't spoken to me about?
We have several, yes. But all these experiences happen to friends of ours, people we know or people we have met who have shared their stories with us, but no one who has lived here in my family for 99 years has a personal experience with a ghost.
What do you make of that?
I find it very curious. I'd love to know, why does she not show herself to anyone who lives here? We just don't know.
Season 2 continues February 20th. The Ghosts That Got Away, The Ghosts of Westover Manor on Discovery Plus. Jamie, I can't let you go without asking, have you ever had a paranormal experience yourself?
Well, it's funny because we chatted about it. And honestly, as a kid, I think I put them out of, you know, I didn't really register it. It wasn't part of my family or anything. But sure, of course. I do remember I was down the Cape one time. And such a crazy story. I didn't think about it until just recently. We were talking about stuff like this. But there was a huge lightning storm, I guess, and I was staying at my aunt's house, and I don't remember the lightning storm at all, but I kind of was, it was one of those nights where you just think like you're seeing somebody in the room with you the whole time in the room, and it was kind of dreamy, and I wasn't sure what was happening. It felt like they were sitting at the end of the bed, and I don't remember the lightning storm at all, but the next morning when I got up, my parents were like, oh my gosh, did you hear the lightning storm? Everybody had gotten up and was like, except for me, apparently I slept through it. But I do remember like seeing people in my room, and it hit the pole outside, came in, and the bottom of the bed I was sleeping on had been blackened. I've never really told that story to anybody before. And I never thought, I was like, oh, it's just electricity or something. But it was funny because talking to you and doing Haunted Live last time, it was this odd, crazy story in my life. And I never really thought about it. And I was talking to my sister after Haunted Live, and she was like, you remember that crazy? And I was like, oh, my gosh, I do remember that story. And so apparently the lightning had come through the wire and had somehow blackened the bottom of the bed. I don't know.
Well, yeah, just being in close proximity. Yeah, I got knocked on my ass by lightning on my way to my buddy Phil Spazzieri's house. It was raining one night, and they had a house that was being built. So the framing was up. And as I'm jogging through the puddles, a lightning bolt hits the construction site. And I'm like a half a block away, and I go straight back and hit the ground.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell? It felt like a freight train hit me. So, yeah, that's no joke.
I slept through it, though. Literally everybody else in the house woke up, and I slept through it. So it was always this weird thing. But, yeah, of course, I remember as a kid being, especially down the Cape, it was like a house from the 1800s that my aunt lived in. And being up in Maine. I mean, honestly, I was up in Maine for a year. And I just remember the beauty of the homes there. Some of those homes are 200 years old. Like, we were in Salem, Massachusetts. It was from, like, the 1700s. And you get in there, and of course, those people must have been smaller because I'm the same. You get up into the A-frame, and you're like, hey, man, were these people like 3 feet tall? And they kind of were. And all of a sudden, you get in there, and yeah, I mean, we went in that one basement in that place in Salem, and I was like, I'm out of here, dude. I'm gone. Like, there was creepy stuff happening, and I was like, I'm out. See you later.
Well, because of all the locations we go into, that's why I send Shane, because he's got the A-frame hair. He's the only one that can fit into those rooms. I'm rounded.
At least I got hair.
That's right.
It's a great choice, Shane. I gotta get one of those going and get my A-frame up.
I got hair. Mine just grows out of my nose and out of my ears now. Not as attractive as you think. I'm planning on just growing my eyebrows straight up over the back of my head and having a comb upper.
There you go.
I can grow my nose hair and go up that. I got a trim one time.
Well, very cool. It's great catching up with you, Jamie. Congratulations. Break a leg on the new movie, man, and we'll look forward to catching up with you here in the future.
Anytime, my brother. Honestly, I love chatting with you guys. And I love the show. I'm so proud of you guys and so happy that the show is doing great.
Thank you.
So, anytime I'm in, I love what you do. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sitting out in the front yard, my brother. I'm not going in with you.
All right. Fair enough.
Jamie, love you guys. Taylor.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We've got more to discuss. And again, we've got links up in today's program so you can find Jamie Kaler and the official Shane Pittman website so you can find out what he's up to. When we come back, a new hashtag may have been spawned from this episode. You'll have to tune in and find out what we're talking about. We'll be back. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader. This is Darkness Radio presents Holzer's Ghosts, The Ties That Burn. And welcome back to the program. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. That guy sitting there is Shane Pittman. You will recognize him from his turn as the villain in Superman 2, the mute Kryptonian that tried to defeat Superman in his agenda. What? That wasn't you?
Yeah, that was me. You got me again.
I knew it.
I'm multifaceted in the industry, Dave.
Well, I bring that up because, you know, for a year and a half now, Shane, you have been cornered on the internet as hashtag poor Shane. This episode, I want people to know my brother from another mother stepped up because I got thrown back into a bathroom. Cindy had a chilling experience in the house. And what did we not hear this week? Shane, I think it's time you go into the haunted house. No, folks. This week, Shane said, you've both had profound experiences over there. I think I need to go solo. So this week it's hashtag Brave Shane. What do you think of that?
Hey, I like it.
Hashtag Brave Shane. I think you came into your own.
Now I've got to rebrand myself, man. Shane, now I've got to change everything up. New t-shirts, new everything. But yeah.
Well, you just you got to have the like the silhouette T-shirt with half of you standing there with like kind of the superhero pose with a fist on the hip, and above it it says Brave Shane, and then the other one you've got you scrambling out of a basement, and it says hashtag Poor Shane, so that they've got both both dichotomies on one T-shirt. What do you think of that?
And then in quotes, you never know what you're going to get.
That's right. Life is like a box of chocolates. Very cool. Hey, season two of the Holzer Files continues February 20th. The ghosts that got away, the ghosts of Westover Manor. That was an excellent episode to film, and we had one of the funniest off-scene moments, but you'll have to tune in next week to Holzer's Ghosts to find out what that is. Should we show them another clip from next week's episode?
All right, here we go. I'm excited for this one.
What the hell?
What?
The haunting is coming from more than one source.
There does feel to be one male
presence in this house. I feel I had a really terrible passing. It's graphic, but there's blood coming out of my mouth like I'm choking on my own blood.
Who could she be seeing?
It was a horrible passing, and I feel it's
angry because of how he passed away. I have unfinished business. There's a lot going on in this property. There's so much going on.
We have our work cut out for us on this one.
And Cindy is not wrong. We have some wild activity, amazing ghost stories, and more. That's next week on the Holzer Files. You can check that out every Saturday. New episodes drop. We have six final episodes for season two. How can you help? Watch all of the episodes on Discovery Plus and make sure that you watch them multiple times. Talk about them, share them, let everybody on the internet know about it. That's the best way to keep us moving. Shane, you go over to Lone Maple.
Yep.
You step in to face the fears and face what's knocked me down, terrified Cindy. Once you get in there and you're using the, was that the Ovilus that you were using?
Yeah, it was the Ovilus. I had the Melmeter with me. Yeah, those two.
As you're dealing with that, all right, and you're now here's the weird part, right? Because you're using this piece of equipment, you're using this tool, and it says shove. There's only a few words that come out of it. And I had just flown ass over tea kettle upstairs. You hear the footsteps. You ask, do you want me to come upstairs? And it says, sure. Talk us through that. What is going on in your head? Honestly, what's going on in your head at that moment?
Well, at that moment, I don't know if there was a burst of adrenaline that I had. I wasn't afraid at that moment. I was wanting to know literally who shoved you, what was going on, why did that happen to you at the time? So I was just wanting answers. So that was my thought process. That's why I said sure so quickly and jumped up to go upstairs. Normally, if you watch me, that doesn't happen as quickly. And in fact, I'm hesitant to go and do it. So for me to want to do that, I was just wanting answers at the time. And that was no editing tricks. That was responses that came right away. There was no hesitation. You want me to go upstairs? Right away, the Ovilus sounds off and says, sure. Then whenever it says shove, it was right away. And whenever I heard that, that frustrated me because I was like, okay, who shoved Dave? Why? And I think you could see that on screen a little bit too, is like, what's going on? Why did this happen to Dave? So I was just wanting answers. I wasn't really terrified at that moment.
All right. Now I want you to be honest about this. Okay. Because I've had a lot of people ask me this. They said Shane was very brave to go back in there and tackle this. But Dave, do you think that he was brave because you handled the attack so well and you seem unfazed by it? What people don't know is I was very fazed by it. We didn't just, you know, I had to get up and walk around outside for a little bit and clear my head. I was shaking. I was sweating like crazy because the pain was brutal. And something people don't know, when we first ended for COVID and we came home, I ended up having a horrible hernia. And when we went back, I couldn't get surgery because of the COVID restrictions everywhere. So I filmed the back half of the season, the last eight episodes, nursing a really bad hernia. So not only do I have this huge tear in my shirt and a gouge this big and this deep into my back, but my hernia feels like an elephant has stomped on my stomach. And I was in a lot of pain, but I was very unnerved. You see in the show, I seem a lot more calm, but that's after I had a chance to kind of calm down and they were, you know, checking on me to make sure nothing was broken or severely damaged. But you still have that thought in your head, Shane. You know what's happened to me. Were you afraid to go back in there alone?
I was a little apprehensive, but like I said, I don't know if maybe it was just a burst of energy. I was more concerned at that time for you because, like you said, it was you were in a lot of pain. I mean, I remember some points I was talking to you, asking you if you were okay. You wouldn't respond just because the pain was so intense. And again, like you said, your shirt was about ripped off of you. You guys didn't see that either, but there was a huge tear in his shirt from where he got hurt and he was bleeding. I mean, it was really bad. I was more concerned for you at the time. And I think that's where my mind was at. I was just making sure that you were okay.
Maybe I should have kept that shirt and auctioned it off. Hashtag brave Shane. Thank you for helping me out on that. Very cool. So I'm just trying to look here. I know I've got some other notes I want to cover. Oh, one real quick thing, my friends around the world tuning into this and listening to the podcast on Friday. My son, Cliff Schrader, who is a firefighter in Minnesota, is doing the Polar Plunge to raise awareness and money for the Special Olympics. And if you'd like to help out, make a donation any size, $1, $5, $10, $100, whatever you're comfortable with. We have a lofty goal of $10,000, but you know, we'll take what we can get this year. I know it's a little bit different than normal, but the money goes to help these Special Olympians train, their travel expenses, their jerseys and workout outfits. It goes a long way to help out a great cause. If you're interested in donating, you can email me dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. And, I'll put it up on the screen here. You can donate to the Polar Plunge by emailing me, and then I'll send you a link to my son's site so that you can click on it. It'll take you to the Polar Plunge page, give you the information, and you can make donations there. I think we're just under $1,000 right now. I'd like to try to hit $5,000 for this thing, but you know, my son set a lofty goal of 10. We're hoping we can get there. So if you have it in your heart to help out Special Olympians, then please join us in doing that. And again, you can email me, dave@darknessradio.com, or hit me up on social media, and I will send you a link to make that donation. So thank you for giving us a few moments of your time to discuss that.
Such a great cause.
It is a great, great cause, and we've been doing it for a number of years. You go up, you hear these things, you get these kind of corroborations to what's gone on in this activity. Then we get back, we start listening, and we get an EVP, get her out of here. Do you think it was talking about Cindy because it didn't like Cindy being in the house picking up on this? Do you think that it had to do with Carol and the animosity and things that were going on with the family? Or do you think Grandma Helen was talking about another entity altogether?
That's a very good question. At first, I thought that it could have meant Cindy because whenever Grandma Helen was, she ran that house. So anything that was out of the ordinary, she wasn't having it. So that thought crossed my mind. At the same time, though, Cindy was also saying that she picked up on that black mist and she didn't know what it was or who it was. Could that have been Grandma Helen saying, get her out of here? But maybe she was identifying something that we don't know about. I mean, it's kind of up in the air. It's just a lot of speculation on that. But yeah, a lot of different scenarios ran through my mind. I think that it was Grandma Helen talking about somebody, but I'm not sure if it was Cindy or somebody else.
The other, you know, EVP and then the image that we captured of, who was it? Was it you that left and all of a sudden, yeah, that kind of mist and shadow formed and then went up the stairs and then we start catching the beeping. Now, this leads to a big question online. A lot of people were wondering why you went outside, stopped and looked up at the house. What were you looking at? Why didn't we ever go back to that? Well, we kind of did with the evidence review. Explain to them, why did you stop outside and look back at the house at that moment?
Okay, so the reason why I left from out there is because I was hearing banging around footsteps all around me, and the Mel meter was going off like crazy. Remember, whenever I was years in that house, I had the obelisk and it said mad. And I said, why are you mad? And that's when all this activity was happening. So I didn't really want to stay in there very long. If somebody was mad, there was an entity that was mad, I wanted to get out. So whenever I'm walking back to the main house where you and Cindy were, the Melmeter goes off again. The reason why I know that is you can faintly hear it. But whenever I turned around and you look upstairs, there's a window there and the light is going off because it's completely dark in that house. So all you're seeing is the light from the Melmeter going off. And that's what I'm pointing out. I'm saying this is bizarre because, like you said before, Dave, we do baseline readings. So we know if there's anything out of the ordinary or if putting it in a certain location is going to set something off. But the fact that the Melmeter was on the bed upstairs and nobody was around it. And another point to that is the antenna, it's a radiating electromagnetic field. So the only way that that does go off is if something interferes with that field. So if nothing is around it, it's not going to go off. But the fact that I was outside, nobody else was in that house. And it went off like that. That's why I pointed and said, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, that was a cool, creepy moment. We were getting a lot of hits on the different equipment. Something was sensitive to that energy and was able to manipulate it. You know, we kind of walked away from it feeling like, you know, it was most likely Grandma Helen that was dealing with this. And especially Carol felt kind of, I think, in line with that, especially knowing the drama that goes on in family life and the way that Grandma Helen would have wanted her family to pull together, not fall apart. Not that they fully fell apart, but there was some issues and animosity and finger pointing. So there's that aspect. But we kind of came to the conclusion, Myra Hatton's gone. The other spirits, perhaps maybe even that burned spirit was a premonition of things to come. The spirit of the house giving you a clue. She's a burned deal. The children, she's trying to protect the children. You know, at first Carol believed maybe this thing was coming to steal the children, you know, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was just showing that this there's a danger here. Or could it have been, I know a lot of people say, could it have been the woman that might've died in a previous house? Now I believe, I don't think we covered it in the show, but when we did our research, we ended up finding out there was no other house that burned down on that property.
No.
So when it was Fernwood, it burned down and no other time and nobody died there. But was it the old lady, meaning the house, the spirit of the house itself that was, you know, kind of a harbinger, a wraith letting you know of what was coming? So there were a couple of different elements that we had in that. It was an interesting story nonetheless, cool, creepy, fun. Another question people have, and I know people are apologizing, oh, I shouldn't have asked these questions. No, ask. Chris Blundell had brought up about the chair. In one scene, the chair is sitting there by the table. We come back down. The chair's moved in front of the door, and we don't ever seem to explain it. Can you just kind of give people, again, a little overview of how filming works and what happened in that scene?
Yeah, so you guys are seeing just a few minutes of me being in this location, right? I was in there for a very long time. So the Melmeter upstairs was going off. I was hearing the footsteps and all of that stuff. We have our audio guys in a secure location that's listening to us, making sure the audio levels are fine. They're hearing things. So our cameraman knew that I was experiencing something upstairs with the Melmeter. So he comes up to film me to say, okay, what's going on? So we go back downstairs and I'm still trying to communicate, trying to figure out who the spirit is and why are they there. So that chair being moved was the cameraman sitting down so he could film me because I sat back down at the table, but that was cut because of time restraints. You know, we're only trying to show you
the moment something's happening.
Right. The meat and potatoes of everything. So he was sitting down filming me and that's why the chair was moved. It was nothing paranormal about that. Just he was sitting down because I was in there for quite some time and you know, he wanted to make sure the camera was steady, all that good stuff, but nothing paranormal about it.
Nothing paranormal about that. Cool stuff. Do you ever have real concern for Cindy? I'm nervous almost every episode for her because I, you know, it's the father instinct in me, but I just, you know, she's open, she's in these places and there's such weird history and stories and scary stuff that goes on. Are you ever concerned for her, or do you just have full faith that she's got her shit together and she knows what she's doing?
Well, both. I mean, she's such a pro. I mean, we're thankful. You know, I'm thankful that we have the team that we do. She's a pro. But I do have that concern sometimes, that because I know that she doesn't want to delve into the trans mediumship too much. She just says she doesn't want to do that if at all possible, she doesn't have to, because, you know, things can go crazy really quickly. So I do always have that concern. What if she's so open sometimes that it happens, you know, before she can get a hold of it, you know? But like I said, she's a pro, so, you know, that's gonna happen. But it just makes me concerned at times because I'm not 100% on top of how that all works. So, you know, I always have that concern of, you know, will somebody try to communicate through her? Because remember those moments sometimes where she's like, oh, my throat hurts, or my neck is hurting, or my head is aching all of a sudden. Whenever I'm seeing that, I'm seeing, okay, is somebody trying to communicate through her right now? Is this what's happening? Is it going to go to that point to where, you know, her face starts contorting and doing all this crazy stuff? I always have that concern because, like I said, I'm not 100% on top of how that works.
So how fast are you going to Scooby-Doo it out of the house if she starts going, I want to kill you, Shane. Well, if she starts morphing.
Hey, if there's a window close by, you're going to see me jumping completely out of it. I'll take
leg soinks.
I'll take my chance on that, because that'd be really freaky to see.
Let's see. We got a question. Elizabeth Fry says, what's your favorite investigation so far?
A season two, just in general of what we've done.
Why don't you answer both? Overall, what's your very favorite investigation? And then for season two?
Overall would have to be the Oceanborn Mary that we've done, just because there was so many twists and turns. We had to really do a lot of digging, a lot of research. And it was a challenging case because of all of the twists and the turns. So I like that challenge. I like the history part of it. So overall would be Oceanborn Mary. And then I think another one would be Franklin Castle season two. That apparition we caught, and even on screen, I felt like it wasn't giving it justice, because that apparition was, I mean, whenever we were reviewing it, was so clear, so precise. It was the craziest thing. And that'd have to be a close second for me.
Franklin Castle, I think, is my overall favorite because of the emotional impact it had on me, and the connection with my daughter being able to be a part of our investigation. So that'll always hold a special place in my heart. But even the episode that aired right after that, where we capture the spirit on the landing, that's one of my favorite pieces, because my God, that, you know, and we did the episode with Chris Emery last week talking about that.
Yeah. Howard Lodge.
Yeah, at Howard Lodge, it was so incredible. And the pull this house has on people, and the energy and the things that take place. And then we capture that thing manifest in the middle of the air, and then just swirl around and move and head up the stairs. And then we captured on the SLS. Cindy picks up on her walking into the room. Those are some of my favorite moments. I don't know. I can't go any beyond that.
That was by far the best piece of visual evidence I think we've ever captured, and that I've ever seen in all my years of investigating.
I don't know, man. Franklin Castle, when that spirit just evolves on the stage, or that sitting area, and then kind of dissipates, was crazy. But yeah. I think what's more dramatic about Howard Lodge was that it just was this kind of misty, ethereal thing that the family had always seen, and then it kind of got bigger as it moved around the corner and up into the stairs. So those are my two favorite pieces of visual evidence I think we've caught, period, so far, folks.
I agree.
But stay tuned. There's another holy shit minute coming up this season with something we capture on camera that I think transcends ethereal, ghost-lighty characters. There's something coming up in an episode. You'll have to tune in to find out which one. Into the Dark asks, Shane, when you said I'm leaving, did the cameraman book it out after you?
Oh yeah, that because you know that they're pros as well, but you know they still get unnerved at times. And whenever things are going on, they're in the moment trying to make sure they capture us and everything. But trust me when I say that they are unnerved, they have their moments as well. So as soon as I said, "Hey, let's go," they didn't say, "Hey, let's stay behind and record a little bit more." They're like, "Okay, let's go."
If you have a question, you can feel free to type it in and we will try to answer it. It'll tell me where we're getting viewers. This is from Cindy Brown on Facebook. She says, "Will you guys plan any investigations in Europe when this whole COVID situation calms down?"
If we have the opportunity for more seasons, that's a really big possibility. Hans did a lot of cases in the UK, in Europe. So if we're blessed with more seasons and everything, you know, hopefully gets better soon, then that's a real big possibility.
Yeah, I'd love to. And he certainly made his way around. He was traveling all over the world to investigate strange claims. Speaking of strange, listen to the best in paranormal talk radio. Darkness Radio is available on most podcast platforms. So if you're watching us live here on Facebook or on YouTube, you can actually listen to Darkness Radio a few times a week. We're on Wednesday, Thursday, and during Holzer File seasons, Friday, you get an extra bonus episode. But you can listen to the show for free. Just use whatever podcast tool, look up Darkness Radio, or simply ask your device, "Okay, Google, play the newest episode of Darkness Radio." Huh? Boom.
Cool. Very
pulls
cool.
It up. Here's the latest episode, and you'll get a chance to listen to the episodes, Demons Among Us, Shocking Real Life Stories from the Paranormal. That's the episode that just dropped today of Darkness Radio. So make sure you go check that out. We got a couple more questions here. Lena jumps in, and I won't try to butcher your last name, Lena, but you say, "Do the cameramen ever get affected during the investigations?" There's been a few times where they're unnerved, but man, these guys have nerves of steel. Rob Saffy worked on Ghost Adventures. And he worked on Paranormal Lockdown with Nick Roth, and he worked on Paranormal Challenge and was a part of the camera crews in all of these. And now he's our showrunner and one of our main camera operators. So they've got nerves of steel. Rob Toth, our director of photography, is the other cameraman, Rob, that we talked to off screen. And we just love these guys. They don't yield, guys and gals. We've had some great female camera people as well that have come in and done the job for us. And you can tell there are times, you know, that are unnerving. I love when Toth has got the camera up, right? And all of a sudden you see his eyes go.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And they just get big like saucers, and he's looking over his shoulder because he can hear something coming up, and it freaks him out. So that's a cool thing.
But they're such pros though, man. Like you said, they are just fantastic at what they do. I'm so thankful that they're a part of our crew.
Kevin McKinnon, have you or will you ever investigate the Cecil Hotel? I cannot confirm or deny that I've ever investigated the Cecil Hotel, because if I did, it was at a point they did not allow it to happen. And I was sworn to secrecy, allegedly, if I had done that. But it's a pretty creepy place. And if you get access to a few of the haunted rooms, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I got to love this. Let's see, where did it go? Libby pops up and says, "Oh my God, Dave, you turned on my Google Mini and it's playing Darkness Radio."
You knew yes. What you were doing. You knew what you were doing the entire time.
Okay, Alexa, play the newest episode of Darkness Radio.
Huh? I have an Alexa in this house. You better not set it off, man.
it's listening to you. I will tell you, I had a creepy experience at my old house. I'd gotten the little Echo Dot. And I had it in my daughter's room because we'd play soft music for her at night. And one night she was at her mom's house spending the night. And my wife and I come up and I hear talking coming from my daughter's room. And then I hear, and I open the door and the Echo powers off.
Wow.
And I'm like, Echo, repeat. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, Echo, I just heard voices coming from you. Please repeat that last recording. You have no recordings. And I'm like, bullshit. My wife and I both heard it, and we saw the light up ring, because you know when it's going, it gets that light up ring. Yep, and as soon as I open the door, it goes, and then turns off. So I don't know if spirits or somebody else was listening to me, but it is terrifying. If they're tuning in at night, all they're going to hear is gas. That's it.
Lord help them.
Yeah. Yeah. Maria de Jesus Gutierrez. I'm butchering it. I'm sorry, Maria. You have the cameraman from Paranormal Lockdown. He's great. I used to marvel at how often he caught things that the hosts missed. He got bit in the back in one of the episodes. He was filming with them, and all of a sudden he's like, it's absolutely bonkers. I like Rebecca's response to my Echo Dot turning on by itself. Nope. Unplug it, bury it, burn it. That's what you got to do to it.
I agree.
I'm trying to see, do we have any other quick questions that you want us to cover? Jennifer says she stood outside the Cecil Hotel, Stay on Main, last summer. That's what they've changed the name to. During E3, creepy hotel, even from a distance. It is, and it's not in the best part of town. So that's a weird element of this. The one thing, I don't think they covered it on the Ghost Adventures Cecil Hotel episode. At least I don't remember them covering it. Do you know? So the woman that went missing, Elisa Lamb, she goes missing. And a few days later, the CDC is in the area testing people for tuberculosis. And do you know what the name of the kit is that they use for testing tuberculosis? The Lamb, Elisa kit.
No freaking way.
You think I'm kidding? Go Google LAM, Elisa kit, and you will see that it is the tuberculosis kit. How weird is that? I mean, talk about weird synchronicities.
I don't think that was in the episode, because I watched the episode. That's what I was going to say too. Like, Ghost Adventures did an investigation there. Check it out on Discovery Plus if you haven't already. It's really well done investigation.
It is. It's very cool. We are coming into the end of our time here together, folks. I want to thank you all for tuning in and being a part of this with us. We will be back Saturday. We've got a brand new episode. I want to make sure I get that back up here. Season 2 of the Holzer Files continues February 20th. The Ghosts That Got Away, the Ghosts of Westover Manor on Discovery Plus. It is a chilling, cool episode. You're going to want to check it out. This is the ghost that got away. Hans was never able to get in to investigate. We got to go in. He talked to the family. They were very kind and sweet to him, but they would not let him come in to fully investigate. We uncover why. So make sure you tune in for that. Plus, you can hear some of the cool behind-the-scenes stories from that episode. I don't know. Maybe I'll bring Shane back. He's kind of a cute, cuddly little fella. Maybe we'll have some other special guests join us for that episode as well. So I hope that you will check that out. Remember, if you want to donate to the Polar Plunge to help my son raise money for my adult firefighter son, raise money for Special Olympics, email me, dave@darknessradio.com. Listen to the best in paranormal talk radio. You can hear Darkness Radio. Shane, let's go out so people can know a little bit more about you, what you've got going on. They can visit your official website, officialshanepittman.com. What can they find there?
Officialshanepittman.com. You can find out all of the latest Holzer Files news. You can also get some cool Poor Shane merch, which I'm going to have to change completely because of you, Dave. Hashtag Brave Shane. There you go. Just some cool stuff on the site. I'm updating it pretty frequently, so you could check it out there. And then on Facebook, just type in Shane Pittman. Twitter, Instagram is @StarringShane. And I'm accessible just like Dave and Cindy. Anytime you guys have questions or anything like that, we try to be open and answer as many as we can. So just go hit us up there. Also real quick too, I just wanted to say again, I know you said it earlier. If you want to see more of the Holzer Files, more seasons, please tune in. If you haven't gotten Discovery Plus yet, there's a 7-day free trial. Go ahead and check that out. Just to see what all there is to offer, because there's a lot of really cool shows. Can't even talk. A lot of really good content. So please go check it out. And for those that have continued to support us, we love you guys. We really appreciate the support. It's because of you guys that we continue doing what we're doing. And we really appreciate you.
Very much so. Hey, do us a favor. Support our buddy Jamie Kaler. Watch his Discovery Plus show, America, Facts versus Fiction. You'll find it only on Discovery Plus. And coming out soon to the True Channel, you can watch Jamie Kaler on Tacoma FD. And he does his Dadlands podcast and Dadlands Facebook posts as well. So you can check him out there. Thank you to Jamie Kaler for joining us and being a part of the program. Thank you all. Be safe, be kind, love one another. We will be back next week with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. For Shane Pittman, I'm Dave Schrader. Back home, Tim Dennis. You've been listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio Presents Holzer's Ghosts. Every Thursday night, live video streams on Facebook and YouTube. And the after show, you can hear the full podcast available on Darkness Radio every Friday. Stay safe, everybody. We love you.